for average people, for most people in the world, today is Monday. But for people who understand greatness, for people who are committed to being the best, for people who are committed to getting the most done, today is not Monday. Today is really
Jaguars Monday with J.P. Shadrick, Jaguars great Tony Boselli, and CBS Sports senior writer Pete Prisco.
You can't admit when you are just making stuff up to fit your stupid narrative. He is so dense and looking.
No, I'm not. You're dense.
Now, to kick off Jaguars Monday, here's J.P. Shadrick.
We are off and running Jaguars Monday for the 2017 season. Well, it started last week, but the full gang is here tonight. J.P. Shadrick, Tony Boselli, CBS Sports senior writer Pete Prisco.
Who made that cut up, by the way?
Yeah, what was that about?
Why? Because it's the one in a million times where he actually sounded like he was browbeating me, and everybody knows I browbeat him on a regular basis. I don't get it. And it's a big brow to beat, too, by the way. Look at that thing. Yeah, the Kyle Korver head.
It's huge.
Thank you very much.
Cavernous.
Listen, I wouldn't talk about foreheads, JP.
No, I can't talk about foreheads either.
Got a couple five heads next to me.
Yeah, we got big five heads. We were talking about what you got right here, Boselli. You know,
it was from the
The helmet.
Helmet protecting my
Why are you so sweaty, buddy?
Oh, I'm just drenched.
What is going
really
on
is.
With you?
I stink.
Did you get a run in?
No, I was out at high school practice, high school football.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
I still coach.
Episcopal Eagles.
You don't have any kids there anymore.
I know. This might be my swan song. I like it. It's fun.
Yeah?
I enjoy it. I enjoy coaching football.
Breaking news, your swan song in high school.
No, it might be. I enjoy that, though. I enjoy it a lot.
Well, you might as well have one foot out the door, then.
You and Brunel, you just can't separate, can you?
No, I guess not. But we were on the turf. It was hotter than hell. I mean, I don't know. I mean, it was hot.
It's hot. It was hot.
I mean, I'm drenched.
You got any good players?
I'm drenched. No, we do. We have a couple good high school players. Yeah. We got a good little running back and linebacker here or there. And we got a couple guys.
You know what's funny? When you were in England and you were teaching those guys how to play football or whatever.
Yeah.
Maybe you should teach Menelik Watson how to play since he's from England, too, because I was in Denver a couple weeks ago. How about the poor guy, though? Think about that. He gets abused by Von Miller on a regular basis, and then last year he's getting abused by Khalil Mack in practice. But he's a Brit. He comes out of the football program.
How's he look?
Not good.
Denver offensive line's going to be
I thought he would be good.
The Denver offensive line is struggle city.
The kid's going to be good at left tackle. The kid, he'll be better than what they had. Sambrello or whatever.
That kid was on the team still?
Yeah, but he won't be. He's bad. They'll be better. Leary will help them. The offensive lines in the league stink, Tony. You know that. They're bad.
We've got plenty to get to tonight. We'll go around the National Football League later. Phone lines will be open. Tony's favorite in the second hour, 355-NFL-1.
Twitter question of the day.
The Boselli Twitter question of the night is coming
Looking
up.
For a sponsor.
Still.
Oh, you can get a sponsor for that.
You
need to get somebody like a barbecue place sets a
Dr.
fire.
DSPSCCS, he could do that.
Yeah, he's done that already.
Yeah,
Tony Boselli's weight loss is real, but he is remunerated for it. Is that not the end of that commercial?
You listen a lot, man.
It's right on.
It's like a stalker. Worries me.
Pete, your first day of practice today, right?
Yeah.
What do you think of the whole environment around the building here?
You know, dual practices are great for the teams. They're bad to watch because you got to kind of watch here or there. So you stand in the middle and you try and see as much as you can. A couple things stood out to me. I thought Dante Fowler actually had a good day in one-on-ones. You know, Dotson abused him last year, and he actually got around him a couple times, and I thought that was good. Bortles threw a couple passes into the middle of the field, and I want to get into Bortles because I got a whole bunch of thoughts on
him. We got a whole segment or two ready for that.
He threw an inside touchdown to Hearns, which I thought was a nice play on his part. He stood in there and made throws. He also made some bad throws. But, Jacksonville's team is faster than they've been in a long time. The one thing that stood out to me over the last couple of years is slow football team. Well, they're faster, and it shows up. And I look, are they going to be better? Yeah. How much better? It's all on the quarterback.
I thought Dante had, I thought he built on, and we talked about this, Jeff and I did a little bit, that New England game. He showed some stuff. We talked about it on the broadcast. He had a couple nice rushes, and we've been very critical, I think everyone has, of him being able to translate what he does in practice to the game and being more consistent and figuring out how to rush the passer, which he had not shown a propensity to do up till this point. And I'm with Pete. I watched him today. I thought he did a good job. After the first one-on-one, I was like, oh, no, here we go again. And then he picked it up for the next few and won multiple times. And so if he can figure out how to rush with Yannick on the other side and those two guys pushing and you get your three corners back, which none of the starting three corners are out there today, that defense can be pretty good. Offensively, we'll talk about Bortles. I mean, that's the big thing. And I think the other big news is Leonard Fournette. I mean, yeah. I know everyone's downplaying it, and we don't know anything more than what the they're releasing, because they don't have to release anything as far as injury.
He's not playing on Thursday. They said that today.
He had a lingering ankle injury that kept him out in college.
Right.
I don't know if it's the same foot or same ankle.
Well, if that's concerned, if it's a foot, it's a bigger difference than if it's an ankle.
Well, what if it's the lingering ankle injury he had last year, and it's already affecting him right now? I think either way, it's a concern.
But it would be more of a concern if it's like the bone on the bottom of the foot or something like that. You know what I'm talking about?
No, I agree with that.
Frank, you don't want that.
Yeah, but again,
it's concerning no matter what. That after one game, your top five pick, who you're planning on being your bell cow of the offense, not just bell cow of the backfield, but the offense. I mean, I think most people feel like they're going to build this offense around Leonard Fournette. Well, and everyone says, oh, it's just the preseason. Well, he's still a rookie. He needs reps. And anytime you start talking about lower leg injuries or concerns with running back skill guys, it's a big deal.
And during the scouting process leading up to the draft, there were some guys in the league that wondered about the durability of the guy. I mean, there were guys who actually mentioned that. And, you know, you think, okay, well, maybe, like you said, he had the ankle injury. But now you're getting into something else. If it's the same ankle, right, that's a concern. If it's a new lower leg injury, that's even more of a concern, because that means you're having problems with your injuries. And so you're all of a sudden now you're fragile Leonard.
Which was the biggest misnomer ever.
Oh, fragile Fred was not missed.
Wasn't that you, though?
No, that was not me.
Who was
it? At one point, somebody tried to blame that on me.
I thought it was David Lamb.
It was David Lamb. No, the problem was he had his muscle torn off the bone, and Tom listed him as
probable
every week. So, you know, of course he was fragile.
Yeah, you took a bad rap for that, I think.
I did. Yeah. And Fred even sort of blamed me a little bit.
Oh. Mm. But that's a concern. That's a real concern on this football team. That, you know, you kind of feel like you dodged a little bit of a bullet yesterday with the Marquise Lee injury. Wasn't
sounds
as
like
bad.
It, yeah.
But still,
it'll
if it's
be
a high,
six
if it's
weeks.
It looked bad, though. It looked real bad.
Well, bad high ankle sprain, I can tell you, everyone says, why did it was, you know, you were on the ground and they have to cart him off. I had a extremely bad high ankle sprain one year, and when it happened, it felt like my leg broke in half. I thought I broke my leg. And those are painful, and those can take a while. You know, as an offensive lineman, I think it was a couple weeks I was back, but I couldn't have cut and run and done all that. I mean, just going straight ahead was hard enough. So to do what Marquise Lee is going to have to do and the type of player he is, 6 weeks puts you, you know, you miss a couple weeks of the season.
Right. He'll probably be back.
He's your number one playmaker right now in this offense, in my opinion.
He'll probably be back
London?
After London.
Or maybe. After London?
Yeah.
You don't press the issue and try to get him out. Well, it's only as fast as he recovers.
I mean, if it's a high ankle sprain, and we're, you know, speculating a little bit because no one's saying anything, but if that's it, it's going
to
be an issue.
Now, the way I understand it, that's about as close to breaking a leg as it can come, right? There's not really much between a high
No, a high ankle sprain is you're actually tearing the membrane between your fibula and tibia that kind of keeps it together going up the ankle. And the higher that is, the worse it is and the longer it takes to heal. And it is an extremely, extremely painful injury.
You know what?
Injury.
You know what's going to have to start happening around here again? You're going to have to get Dr. Prisco out again. Because way back when Tom was here back in the day, he would never talk about injuries, and I'd always say, well, okay, that guy has this. And he'd look at me and go, what are you, a doctor? And I'd say, well, around here, somebody's got to play one so we can get the damn information out. So it's back to not giving out information on injuries.
No, but they don't have to during
the season. I know, but why wouldn't you?
Because
now you leave the kid. Well, okay, but you're playing a preseason game. Does it really matter?
No, I'm talking about, I mean, you want to.
Come on, Tony.
You want to be, I would be, if I was the head coach or GM or president, whatever you want to say, I would be very tight to the vest during the preseason because I don't have to and no one else is sharing information. So why would I? Unless it's a season-ending injury, I would not share anything.
Why? Why wouldn't you just come out and say, okay, Leonard Fournette has a bad ankle. Now we're all speculating that maybe he's injury-prone instead of saying maybe it's a little boo-boo ankle. That's dumb. And now you got Marquise Lee, who people had him carted off the field and torn ACL yesterday. Now you're trying to speculate. Somebody puts out a report that it's a high ankle sprain. I think Ian Rappaport put it out. He probably got it from his agent. Well, these guys should come out and say, yes, that's right. He has a high ankle sprain. What's the big deal? What is the big deal? Seriously. Now, you're going into coach mode here. That's what you're going into.
Coach Pacelli. Just came off the practice field.
That's right. I'm sweaty.
I'm sweaty. I'm tired. Had a tough practice, and we're not talking about injuries.
He's such a coach.
We'll let you know Wednesday of week one.
Yeah, when we have to report it.
But what's the reason for it?
Everyone will be questionable.
If you give me a valid, good reason, I will agree with you.
Tell me the reasons why I should tell
you. Because you're hanging the kid out to dry.
No,
the kid's,
well, how's anyone hanging him out to dry?
Are we not hanging? Are we not sitting here speculating on Leonard Fournette being injury prone?
First of all, I tell my guys, if you listen to these idiots, then shame on you. It's your own fault if you believe anything they say. As far as if you're going to base, you know, how your injury is getting, the level of injury you have based on what Tony Bisselli and Pete Prisco says.
Well, if they came out, they said, look, he's got a high ankle sprain, he's going to be out 6 to 8 weeks, then we'd say, okay, well, there you go. If they came out and they said, Leonard Fournette has the ankle he hurt at LSU is bothering him, we're going to sit him out. Everybody go, okay, fine.
Well, that one I would not say, because now, then you start getting into the speculation, oh, is he injury prone?
Well, we're in it now anyway.
You know, you shouldn't have drafted him, yada, yada, yada. Well, and all
are we not?
No, I don't think we've gone that far.
No, but we're speculating on him being injury prone because we don't know what the injury is. So they've put that out there. Just be honest. Why? I don't get the NFL sometimes. I don't get it. It's not just here. It's everywhere. Just put the damn injury out. You make the player look
bad. Your point,
there's no reason.
It wouldn't do anything if you told the truth.
Right. Okay, see, I finally won
one.
So
you
win. I'm 1-0 already.
Mark it down.
That didn't take long. What are we, 15 minutes into the show?
Yeah.
I still wouldn't do it.
Why not?
Hey.
Because unless everyone's showing their cards, I'm not showing mine.
But the game doesn't matter. It's a preseason game.
I'm not showing my cards. You show me yours, I'll show mine.
Oh, my God.
You're
unbelievable.
Let's come back and get into the quarterback. Is Blake Bortles on a true pitch count? We'll break down the last couple of days for the Jaguars.
Yeah, and I'm not allowed to talk more than 10 words every half hour.
Oh, what a blessing that would be.
No, that would be you.
Coming up at Daly's Place, Future, Wednesday, August 16th, Matchbox 20 and Counting Crows, Saturday, August 19th, and Mary J. Blige, Wednesday, August 23rd. A full schedule and tickets available at dailysplace.com. We're off and running. It's Jaguars Monday on jaguars.com, the Jaguars Facebook page, and Jaguars Radio.
And, you know, I probably might have misspoke when I said pitch count. Like, we do monitor it, you know what I'm saying? So I just went back, you know, and looked at it. Really, the other day I just saw his arm look tired. Rather than push him knowing that he was going to get, you know, all the reps that we needed for these next couple of days, you know, I just said, hey, it was my decision. He's like, well, hey, I'm good. I can go. And I said, look, let's just be smart. And that's, you know, no different than you know, Chris Ivory yesterday. You know, when I was asked afterwards, you know, hey, he had an injury. He was going to go yesterday, but I walked to Chris and I pulled Chris because I thought it was more important for us to be able to practice today and get all our reps than it was to try to push them, or maybe not to put them in jeopardy, but obviously one more day's rest can't hurt when it comes down to those type of situations.
Jaguars head coach Doug Marrone today after the joint practice of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Jaguars Monday rolls along. J.P. Shadrick, Pete Prisco, Tony Bisselli. Your calls in the second hour tonight. The Tony Bisselli Twitter question of the night is upcoming as well.
So is that coach speak there?
Well, not really. He put it out there. He said Ivory wanted to practice. He pulled him out.
What about Blake, though?
Blake?
Yeah. I don't believe him.
So he said, I don't think he's lying. You think he pulled him out for performance?
You didn't want to carry it over, and you wanted to end it right there. Yeah, I do.
You didn't want another five interceptions.
Because, come on, let's go the arm situation. Let's see. He threw five passes on Thursday night. Well, they didn't practice on Wednesday. He threw five passes on Thursday. He was off on Friday. I heard he had a good day on Saturday. Then on Sunday, you throw some picks and you pull him out because his arm, to protect his arm. Why would you even put him in the field if it's going to be an arm day? Why didn't he just sit out the whole practice?
Well, maybe he didn't recognize it until practice was ongoing, and he said he looks tired.
Come on. You don't believe that. Were you there that day?
Yeah, I was there.
What, did it look that way to you?
Did he look like he was tired? No.
Yeah.
I mean,
okay.
I can't tell. I'm sitting on the sidelines. But no, I would, nothing different than any other day. What's interesting to me is you get all these rest days.
Right. It's not like your old days.
Well, you only do 2 days. Right. I don't understand.
They made such a big deal the first 5 days of pads. You guys used to have two in pads for like five straight days.
There was no rest days,
by the way.
Zero.
No. It was brutal, but it's changed.
I understand that, but the rest days, I don't care.
But you don't need it. If you're a veteran quarterback, like Carson Palmer takes rest days off. In fact, they forced him to take rest days off on Wednesdays last year in the second half of the season, and he played much better. But he's also 37 or whatever he is.
Yeah, he's old.
He's been around the league This year, they forced him to take days off in camp, and it's killed him. He wants to practice. They won't let him because they think he's going to be fresher at the end of the year. But Blake, he needs all the work he can get. It's dumb to give him rest days. I don't get that one at all. And in fact, I don't believe it. I think he got jerked out of there.
Well, I'm not going to – I mean, if Doug says it, I'm going to believe it until, I mean, we find out other information.
There's never been coaches around here that have told you one thing and really something else happened. I know one that I talked to today.
I just know that.
Tom Coughlin.
I just know that it's interesting to have a young quarterback that has had a lot of time off over the last 4 or 5 days that needs a rest day. I don't get that.
So
I don't buy.
So Tony's trying to say it in a nice way. I just flat out say it.
Maybe it's coach speak. Maybe they're trying to protect the kid. I don't know. I don't understand the rest day though. I don't understand the rest day with Chris Ivory either. By the way, I mean because he had.
Well, maybe he was dinged a little. Maybe he was.
Yeah, no, he said he was dinged.
Yeah, oh, okay, then I get that.
But he was back today.
Yeah, and Chris Ivory wanted.
Oh, he's dinged. I get that.
And Chris Ivory wanted the practice. That's what he said. He said he wanted the practice.
Right. He did say that.
I don't mind that. Doug was very forthcoming with that. I think that's a good thing. But
I thought that was a smart move. Yeah. If he's dinged.
Yeah, you want to sit him out. I got a theory on the quarterback. Okay.
Oh, I can't wait.
No.
Here we go.
No, I mean,
let's get it started.
This bothers me. This bothers me.
Tell us.
I know they want to run the ball. Okay. I know that's what they want to do. They want.
They need to.
I agree. But you cannot allow a quarterback to play and take the field every single time with don't turn it over, just manage the game, don't mess it up, don't. You'll never get better. You will never, ever get better. If you are told that by the time you take the field, you will never get better. And then you hear your head coach saying, if I could run it 85 times a game or whatever, never pass the ball, what does that tell you, the quarterback? See, I think this is one of the worst situations for Blake Bortles to even try and get better. I'll be honest with you. I think it's one of the worst situations to try and get better. You go around the league and you talk to coaches, and I'm actually doing a story on the run game. I'm going to Tennessee tomorrow. I'm going to go talk to Mike Mularkey. Is Mike Mularkey ahead of the curve because he is pounding the ball in a league that's getting smaller and faster on defense? And I went around and I asked a bunch of guys, and to a man, every single one of them said, no. You can run the ball and play good defense, and you're going to have those seasons where you might get there, but the margin for error is tiny. It's tiny, and we've seen that over the years. So you still have to throw the football. They cannot tell the quarterback, cannot harp on him that you can't turn it over and allow him to play quarterback. Now, maybe he can't play that position at all, and maybe he isn't very good. Well, then he shouldn't be the quarterback. So I think they have to kind of let him go a little bit. And if
they let him go last year, and look what happened.
Well, they had to let him go last year. I'm
let
talking
him go
about
2 years ago, too.
They let him go with a bad offensive line. Is the offensive line better? I think it's better. Don't you?
Yeah. But they weren't terrible last year, pass protection wise.
No, they weren't. Did Allen Robinson regress a little bit last year? He didn't learn. He didn't handle the double.
He didn't handle the press very well. But is that a function of him frustrated with the quarterback?
Well, I mean, that's a little thing that shouldn't be a frustration with the quarterback.
Well, I can see how it is, though.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm not saying throw the ball 40 times a game because that's not Drew Brees can do that. He can't. But you cannot.
So what are you saying then? They're going to have 60 plays a game. Let's say they have 65 plays a game. How many times do you want them to throw it?
But it's not how many times you throw it. It's how you throw it. What is?
What does that mean, Pete? The way you throw is you kind of lift your arm up.
He kind of doesn't do that either. He kind of doesn't lift his arm up and throw it. So
tell me, I don't understand what that means.
What are you throwing on first down? Are you dictating tempo sometimes?
Reporter speak.
No, it isn't.
65 plays. How many times should this team throw it?
30.
So Blake Bortles should throw it 30 times a game.
Right.
Run it 35.
If you're not allowing him to throw 30 times a game in a league where rules are made so you throw the football around, then you're doing him a disservice.
I've seen enough in this camp that tells me this team can be
that's a whole other story.
50-50 run pass team.
Well, if they're going to try and – so what do you think they're going to throw? Go okay, 65 plays are going to run it 45 times?
No, 40-25.
So you're 5-5.
That's a lot. That's a big difference.
That's a whole lot.
That's a lot.
If you're up 2 touchdowns, you don't throw the ball
around
the yard?
That's a lot.
So. Run the ball.
That's a lot
but
different.
But you got to be up to throw the ball, to run the ball. I'm a big believer.
That's 80 more passes a game for Blake, a season for Blake Bortles.
But run it. Run it when you have the lead. If you get a 2-touchdown lead like you just said, run the damn ball.
Whether you like it, I like it, or anyone likes it, this team right now is built to run the ball, play good defense, and win close games. That's how they're built.
Well, I mean, so they're basically, at the best, they're going to be 7-9 then, because you can't win consistently in the NFL that way.
Run the ball, do a little play action on
Seattle just won a Super Bowl doing that.
There you go.
Huh? With arguably one of the great defenses of all time. Scoring defense. Is this defense going to lead the league in scoring?
Well, I think they did that, didn't they, JP?
Did they lead the league in scoring defense, yes or no?
I think...
okay, if the Jacksonville Jaguars...
I think Carolina got to the Super Bowl...
With Cam Newton played...
running the ball...
And Cam Newton...
Running
right.
a lot more
but
than
Cam
throwing
Cam Newton threw the ball pretty darn well.
Okay, they ran
he was the MVP of the league that year, but he ran it.
Go look at the numbers.
But, okay, let me ask you this. Is this defense going to lead the league in scoring defense? If they do, because they're going to have a damn good team. I don't care what they do on offense. If they lead the league in scoring defense, they're going to be a good football team.
I hope they do.
Throw the damn ball on first. Dictate. Not so much how many times you throw, but can't pound it into the kid.
The Broncos won the Super Bowl, couldn't throw it to save their lives.
But when he had to read the defense and find a wide open tight end twice against the Patriots,
I get that,
he did
but,
it.
I mean, it was. It was a struggle. They played great defense.
And you know what?
Control.
In week 17 that year, or no, week 16 that year, Cincinnati came in there on a night game on a Monday night. And had him down by two scores late in the game. Remember, they rallied and lost the game in overtime against A.J. McCarron?
Right.
If the Broncos don't win that game, they don't make the playoffs. That's the margin for error.
I agree with you. The margin for error is very, very small if you don't have a quarterback. If you don't have a franchise quarterback, your margin – I mean, you and I are saying the same thing.
But
you're kidding yourself if you think this team is ready to be in that classification.
I'm not saying they are, but if you
– what are you saying?
If they continue to pound into his head –
what do you want him to tell him?
Play. Just play. We're going to play football. We're going to play football. Don't. Because I thought after San Diego. I thought after San Diego last year, it got back to the same. They pounded into his head. Don't turn it over. He turned it over three times. It's like
I don't.
You've played baseball, Tony, or basketball, where coach said, "Hey, look, I don't want you shooting as much." And the next thing you know, you take a shot, and you're a little tight when you shoot the ball because if it doesn't go in, you might be coming out.
So you're saying if they just took the leash off Blake,
that's not what I'm saying.
He'd be better.
That's not what I'm saying.
Five wide every time.
No, that's not what I'm saying.
What are you saying?
Just don't pound into his head. Don't turn it over on him. Because if you
so, what would your message be to Blake Bortles?
Turn it over.
No, it wouldn't be. Don't be afraid to let it go when you get the opportunity. Because he clearly, and I haven't been out there every day, but he clearly, everybody I talked to said he's been a little reluctant to throw the ball at times in the middle.
I'd be reluctant too with the amount of interceptions he's thrown over the last.
And then
you
hear it over and over again. You know what? You know how many guys? I was in New Orleans 2 weeks ago. Drew Brees threw two interceptions on the first three passes in the 7-on-7 drill. Did anybody kill him? No. I mean, he's got
Drew
track.
Brees.
Whoa!
Now we're comparing Blake
no,
to Drew Brees
because quarterbacks take chances in training camp that they. Peyton Manning told me that a long time ago. You can't judge a quarterback in training camp. We
I
do things in training camp.
We've
that
all
we
said
have.
That. We've all right. said. I'm not judging Blake by training camp at right. all. I just think your message is ridiculous.
Your message is to run the ball 40 times a game and play good defense and try and do what?
I think if you took a poll of all the GMs, coaches, and everyone around the league and on this team, they would say the best chances for this team to win ball games, be competitive, have a chance to maybe steal the division in December is run the ball and play great defense.
So like Tennessee did last year.
Yes. I think that is the recipe for this team right now. I'm not saying it's forever. I'm not saying it's my favorite way to play football. I'm just saying right now, the makeup of this team, Pete, that is the way they have to do it.
Because they've been such a great run team over the years.
I'm not saying that.
This is what they want to be. That's right. what they built it around. Offensive
so basically
line.
What you're saying is they don't think Blake can throw the ball. That's basically what they're saying.
I don't think they feel like they can throw the ball 30 to 40 times a game.
Well, they don't have to. You don't have to. It's how you throw the ball.
He keeps on saying it's how you throw the ball.
There are situations.
Well, he's right. I mean, it is how you throw the ball.
Well, I know, but does that make sense?
Look, if you got up by two scores in the third quarter and you got the ball in this, and then you ran it as much as you wanted to and you controlled the clock and you looked over there and it was, like you said, 40 to 25, but you threw it 25 times on early downs and dictated tempo. Then that's how it's not the number, it's how you
no,
throw
but you're
it.
You're missing the point, Pete.
No, you're missing
no,
the point.
No, you are missing the point because this team is going to play close games, in my opinion. They're going to come out running it, they're going to come out trying to control the clock, play field position football with special teams, and play great defense. That is how the formula works right now
I
for
get
this
it.
Team to win.
But you also have to.
And now with that, you're not going to have a lot of 2-3 touchdown leads. They're going to be tight games, they're going to be decided in the fourth quarter.
Because they don't believe that their quarterback can throw the football then.
Well, I think whether they think that's where they're most talented or it's because they don't believe Blake's ready for that or whatever it is, that's the plan, I think.
You know, Tennessee does it, right? They did it last year.
Exotic smash mouth.
Well, they also have two damn good tackles, right? Really good tackles.
Agreed. Two really good backs, too.
Right. So, I mean, you can do that with it. And they had a great blocking tight end in Fasano.
Yep.
I mean, they could do that. But they're 28th in passing last year. Eventually, they're going to have to do what other teams do. They're going to have to allow the quarterback to throw the football. You have to throw in this league. You cannot win consistently running the football.
Well, I think the problem for them last year more was the wide receiver position. They didn't have playmakers outside, and that's why they went and drafted the kid, Corey Davis.
I don't care who they have outside. Mike Mularkey's going to run the football.
I get that, but would you agree that that was the deficiency of that offense?
Correct. You know that. Correct.
And that's why they added guys like Corey Davis and trying to make him better outside.
I agree.
Yeah.
We'll come back in a moment. And
I won that one. Thank you.
You got abused.
We can continue with the quarterback discussion if
you
like.
He got abused.
We can come back and discuss the linebacker situation for the Jaguars as well. Check out Jack Hanania's Audi Jacksonville on Blanding. You can lease a beautiful new A3 from just $229 a month. Head over today for details. Linebacker talk. Where's Miles Jack lining up this week? We'll talk it next. Jaguars Monday on Jaguars Radio.
For this game,
right?
And then, you know, then we'll look at it, see what's going on, and get ourselves in the best situation. Because, you know, like I said before, we have, you know, Miles is playing the middle. I mean, he's playing the Sam. He played the middle. He came off his best game at middle, you know. And then, you know, we put Puz there, who was playing Sam. We also moved Blair Brown, you know, over to play some Sam. He could play inside. And then we also have Lorente McCray, you know, playing some Sam. So we're trying to figure out, just so you know, hey, how things shake out. You know, what's the best starters? What's the best way to go into the season? Who can back who up? So really, really, that's what's going on. You know, I think Ryan asked me the question the other day, is that an indictment on anyone? It really is not, because, you know, one guy's coming off his best game. We know how Puz can play. We're just trying to figure out what's the best combination for us in base downs, 21 and 12. And then we're trying to find out what's the best combination for us to go into the season as far as who's backing who up.
Doug Marrone today after the joint practice with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers discussing the linebacker situation. Paul Posluszny back to the middle. J.P. Shadrick, Tony Boselli, Pete Prisco, Jaguars Monday. Your calls in the second hour tonight. Tony Boselli, Twitter question of the night coming up. So get those submissions in. And
you know what I'm upset about? We don't have PFF grades today.
Oh, and we can find some if you want.
Not me. I'm happy.
They liked Dante, by the way, in the last game on Thursday.
Yeah, I already told you played well.
I'm just saying PFF liked him too. I'm just following it up.
Considering they don't have any All-22 tape because it's not available, I don't know where, unless they get it from somewhere. But you watched the All-22, didn't you?
Yeah. Oh, I didn't watch all of it. No, I saw a little bit when Logs was watching it, but I haven't watched it. I'll watch it.
Yeah.
Speaking of that,
don't watch the entire game during the preseason.
No.
Because I already watched it once.
Speaking of the All-22, how did Miles Jack look, and why the change back now?
Well, I think it's the reason they changed, I think, is the easy answer. I think they're better with Paul Posluszny at middle linebacker. Now, Miles had a good game against New England. Make no mistake about that. So it is not an indictment against him. But
it is.
No, it's not. I've said from the beginning, why would you take the best first and second down guy and move him to change positions? Why not just keep Miles where he played all last year, bump him inside on the nickel, and keep Paul there on first and second down?
Well, I mean, really,
and so that's, I mean, if you're looking at the best, in my opinion, and Jeff and I have been saying it for months now, your best base personnel is Paul Posluszny at first and second down. Even though Miles played well, it's not an indictment against him. I think Puz is one of the best first and second down middle linebackers in the NFL. If you look at his reaction, how he reads, how he recognizes, and in his lack of wasted movement getting where he goes, in those rundowns, that run personnel, I think he's outstanding. And so it's not an indictment against Miles. I would have never made the change in the first place and moved Miles to the Mike linebacker and nickel with him and Telvin, because you do want more speed on the field, and because Miles Jack is a better coverage guy than Paul Posluszny.
Well, he's going to play 100% of the snaps.
Yeah, he's still playing every snap.
He'll play 70%.
I don't think it's a big deal.
And you're in base maybe 35%, 30-35%. So it's still Miles Jack will be the guy on the field.
Yeah, I don't think it's a big deal. I think it actually makes him better. And it's still cross-trained, so if something happened to Puz.
Yeah, you got to try it.
I don't think there's any indictment, nothing wrong. I'm fine with the decision, and now Miles is comfortable playing middle linebacker. He has to do it.
But is he comfortable playing the strong side linebacker? Because he's not a big guy.
He did it all last year.
I know, but
they're playing more off the ball Sam this year.
Yeah, I don't know. He's the middle linebacker of the future, but I thought the other night he overran a lot of plays. Like, he got to it and then slid. You know what I mean? It was almost like he was too aggressive, Tony. In the stuff I watched, would you agree?
Maybe a little bit.
He's fast though.
He can fly and he makes up for some false steps sometimes. But I just think
pass coverage, he had a lot of false steps the other night.
But he makes up for it,
right? But he goes up, steps up, and then starts.
He has the speed to catch up. I just think Puz is right now a better first and second down guy.
I wouldn't argue that. You're probably correct. But why make the move in the first place?
I wouldn't have.
But I know, but they did.
Well, maybe they thought they wanted to do it to give Miles. They knew Puz would be okay at middle linebacker because he's played there his whole career. So let's give Miles Jack a lot of reps so that if something happened to Puz, that he'd be comfortable playing.
Puz didn't know he was going back, and he kind of sulked over it for a week or so.
Maybe
his reaction was not ideal.
As a coach, maybe you don't want to kind of little test.
No, you can't tell me that they had any idea about flopping those guys back and forth.
I don't think they did.
No. So they obviously are not happy with Miles Jack at middle linebacker.
Well, Pete, it's not always black and white.
Yes, it is.
No, because you could say Miles would be fine with Miles playing Mike. Maybe it's Puz isn't as good at the Sam. And they feel like they're better with Puz at the Mike linebacker.
You're reaching.
If he flew out there like Ray Lewis the other night and played his head off, we wouldn't be having this. He'd still be the middle linebacker, right?
So you're telling me that if Miles Jack is a better Sam than Puz and they're equal at Mike, you're still not better off putting Puz at Mike and Miles Jack.
All I'm saying is that if he was that good at middle the other night,
do you think Miles is a better Sam than Puz? How can you make that claim?
I can't.
Well, then why are you saying that then?
Well, I'm just saying it's a possibility. I haven't studied all the practice.
You're the hamster on the wheel right now. You're going round and round and round.
No, Pete, you're wrong. Have you studied? I mean, you haven't even been to practice.
Right. Okay.
I've been to practice. Okay, one game for like 10 snaps. What about all the practice film?
Right. Okay. So
they don't let us watch practice film.
What are you talking about then?
Well, I watch practice.
And what do you think?
I think they're better.
Some practices.
Puz is better at Mike.
So Puz might be better at Mike.
He is.
Okay. Well, then
no, he's better at Mike than he is at Sam.
Right. Then the move was a bad move in the first place. Then
we got to try to find out.
I don't think it's a bad move. Right. You tried it, and you
they
said
may not know that.
So then it is an indictment of Miles Jack. Then
how do we know? What if it's an indictment of Puz at Sam? We don't know.
We don't know.
Well, you don't know either.
Well, if it was an indictment of Puz at Sam, then you might want to get somebody else to play Sam if Miles Jack was playing that well.
What if Miles is your best Sam backer?
Is he?
Yeah.
Do you know that for a fact?
Yes, because being first and second down, he can cover the tight end man coverage.
I don't know. I think
so. I think it's
a little bit of an indictment.
I don't.
Miles Jack,
I think you're
linebacker.
Reaching, and I think you're.
No,
trying,
I don't.
You're looking
and
for
I love the kid, and I probably would have kept him there.
You're looking for controversy.
No, I'm not looking for controversy.
This is what reporters do.
This is why Tom doesn't like you around. I don't cover the news. I don't cover the team anymore.
Tom's not covering the practice. I'll be honest with you. I don't blame him, frankly.
I'll be honest with you. If I was on the beat still. The headline tomorrow would probably say Miles Jack has been benched at middle linebacker.
Yeah, because you're a problem caller. You cause problems.
Yeah.
That's why I understand why Tom doesn't like you.
No, it's honesty.
You don't know that.
Yeah, no, I'd find out.
Well, but right now you don't know that.
And you don't know it either.
I'm not saying one way or another.
You're saying it's not an indictment of Miles Jack.
I'm not willing to say it is. You are. You're a trouble causer. I'm not. Tom likes me more than you, too.
He does, because you're his second, one of his extra sons. How many sons does he have now, Tom? He's got Brian. What's the other one's name? But you're the son. You were his son from the minute you came into this building. You had a little.
No, we actually really don't look alike.
No, but he had when you came into the building in 1995 with that chubby face, he had such a gleam.
Who wouldn't love a face like
no,
that?
No, he had such a. You should have seen Tom. He was like, oh, my God. He loved him. It's been his son. It's like an extra son. You know it, too.
Now his name's on the wall.
Huh?
Now his name is on the wall.
Yeah. Well, his name should be on the wall. Should be in somewhere else, too. Oh, wait. We can't talk about that.
Well, oh.
We can't talk about that because some guy sent me and Tony a tweet saying that we talk too much about Tony in the Hall of Fame.
And my response was, I never bring
it up. You never
do.
I bring it up all the time.
Right.
I do bring it up.
And we'll dedicate a whole segment to that coming up a little bit later.
Yes, we will.
How about that?
And we'll get into Fred a little bit, too.
Yes, we will.
Let's do that. Let's talk about Fred.
We will. Yeah. We'll come back, though, and get into the receivers, the running back issues with the Jags. Plenty still to come on Jaguars Monday. The JTA Stadium Shuttle has a new name. The Game Day Express. New name, same great service, price, and locations. Try it this week, this Thursday, with the Jaguars host, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. This is Jaguars Monday on Jaguars Radio.
Trying to get him to lead more by vocally, not because he's a leader by example. I want him to step up and take charge. I always tell him people respect you with the way you play, so you got a chance to say something. You got the right to say something. So, I mean, I just keep stressing it. Just keep playing, keep showing up every day to come out to work, and then when you say something, people they'll follow what you say.
Wide receivers coach Keenan McCardell today after practice. Hear the full interview coming up on the Publix Tailgate Show Thursday night.
I thought what is the policy? Are assistant coaches allowed to speak? Because when Tom was
apparently so because
wasn't that the rule? Tom
to me
when, Tom.
Yeah, but I saw
coaches,
guys talking to assistants. Yeah, they weren't allowed.
Back in the days.
No, they couldn't talk. We had to hide to get them. I hid with Kevin Gilbride. Me and John Osher were interviewing Kevin Gilbride in the weight room office one time, and Tom walked in, and we all had to duck down below the level so he couldn't see us. Gilbride, too. He was afraid, too. It's unbelievable. But, yeah, I talked to Keenan today. I hadn't seen him in a while. Yeah. It's good to see him around.
Good talk there about Allen Robinson, and the next step for A-Rob here is, as he said, he leads by example, plays well. He's having a good camp so far on the field, but the vocal part of it, there's not really Aurelius Ben is the oldest wide receiver on this team and a guy who's been around for a little bit but hasn't performed at the highest level, has been injured a lot. They need a guy who's performed at a high level to kind of lead the way.
Keenan has fire in his belly, which I think is good to have at that spot. I think it's good for the young guys to have. Keenan, plus,
Might have been
one of the best route runners I've ever seen in my life. And, you know, Isaac Bruce was a great route runner, but in that era, those two were fantastic. So it's good for him to be able to teach those young guys.
Well, when he speaks, he has credibility with those guys because he did it at a high level and did it for a long time. So it means something, I think, to some of these younger guys that, you know, when he gets on them a little bit, and he's an intense coach, he gets after those guys pretty good that, you know, sometimes players can kind of, you know, turn a deaf ear and not pay attention. But Keenan gets their attention. He's earned the respect, and I think he can help him a lot.
I mean, I've always liked Keenan. I joke around with him when he used to come around and go, yeah, it's 1-1A, me and Jimmy. I go, nah, it's 1-2, Keenan, but you're still a heck of a player.
He didn't like that not too much at all, I'm sure.
No, I kid with him, but you know, Keenan was great. Keenan might have been the only guy, and you will agree with me when I say this because you were around. If Keenan, now it's funny that he's a coach, but if Keenan had three catches for 32 yards and the team won, Keenan wasn't as happy as when he had 9 for 142 and 2 touchdowns and they lost. True?
Keenan was always open.
I love Keenan. He might have been one of my favorite guys ever to cover. He'd come in and sit in there and
probably the toughest guy on the team.
He was tough.
Played practice.
He'd go across the middle and all that stuff.
Oh my gosh.
Made his living in the middle of the field.
Practice harder than anybody else on the team. Loved to practice, loved to compete.
This is in the days when receivers weren't as protected as they are now either.
No, there was zero protection.
Right.
You went across the middle, you died.
I think he's going to be a hell of a coach.
I saw him get a grade 3 AC joint sprain against Tampa. Usually keep guy out 4 weeks, played the next week.
Yeah,
broke his wrist in a playoff game, broke the bone. Was supposed to be out for the rest of the playoffs game, casted it up, played against the Jets and had 8 catches.
Eight.
Guy was a stud.
He was. And I think he's going to be a really good coach. I mean, like, maybe take, you know, the steps to get there, which will be funny because I think Byron Leftwich is on the fast track to becoming a head coach, too. They love him, and they love him.
So I keep reading headlines about
I talked to Byron out there when I was out there, and Bruce Arians and everybody, they love the kid. And they let him call plays in certain situations. He's to get involved in the offense, and it's funny because Byron and Blaine Gabbert were standing next to each other talking. I said, boy, if I take that picture and send it down on Twitter, how much of a meltdown will that be in Jacksonville?
Good for them, though. Good for Byron.
Yeah. Yeah. He's always been really,
very
really smart.
Very smart guy.
Yeah.
Very smart
And he
guy.
Likes it. He really wants to do it, and he works at it. So I think he's going to be very good.
Receivers here, though. You got A-Rob. You got Marquise Lee's down right now. But guys that are kind of – that would be McCardell's guys, or guys like Hearns and Keelan Cole, right? Undrafted guys that have to work their way up. I think he was a later draft, but he was a 12th round pick, is that right?
Yeah, back in the day when
back
he was
when they
12,
had all those rounds. So similar to what these guys
by
would
the
be.
Redskins.
So he's got to love these type of players that kind of fight their way through.
I think he loves players who are good and
I
work.
We all do.
Well, I mean, he's a coach. He wants guys who are going to obviously be good at their craft, work hard, give great effort, and have a good attitude. And so those are the guys that are going to have success for any coach. But especially a guy with the mentality that Keenan brings to it, you know, workmanlike, everything he got, he earned through a lot of hard work, was not given the opportunities of a high draft pick, and made his own way in a lot of different areas to get to where he was. And that's the type of guy that's going to thrive under a coach like Keenan.
By the way, he won a Super Bowl with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, mm-hmm. Keenan. And I once asked him, I said, Keenan, who was better, the team that won the Super Bowl with the Bucks or the one that lost in 99? He said, there's no doubt 99 was a better football team. And just, I mean, I don't want to rub salt in anybody's wounds.
Thanks,
or anybody.
Please,
with all due respect. And I
That's
do
great.
Well, it was. It was a hell of a team.
And history won't be.
No, that's the shame of it. Just think about it. If you had been healthy in that playoff game, playoff run, and you won it, you would have been in Canton already.
If nuts,
which is a precursor
there you go.
To the next segment. When we come back on Jaguars Monday, we'll get into the Hall of Fame stuff a little bit. The phone lines are open as well. 355-NFL1, the Tony Boselli Twitter question of the night. It's all Tony all
breaking,
the time. Next
breaking
segment.
News. Breaking news.
Get ready for that. PRI Productions is the Southeast premier full-service event company with everything you need to bring your next event to life. Visit PRIProductions.com to learn more. Second hour of Jaguars Monday after this on Jaguars Radio.
You know, it's too much inconsistency, you know, from what I've seen. You know, they do it something one way, then if they get beat, then they try to compensate for it, and then they get beat again. Then they'll come back and have a good one. And you have to have confidence in what you do and your fundamentals, and you've got to realize that. And then if someone's beating you or trying to take away a move or trying to do something to counter it, and that's when we talk about a game plan. That's what we're trying to get done with those guys, is to make sure, you know, that they can go out there and instead of the opposing front dictating the way we play, you know, trying to get the opposing front to dictate the way we want them to play. You know, and that's very, very difficult to do. But once you're able to do that, then you have an opportunity to be pretty darn good.
Doug Marrone today after practice, when asked if he had been watching individual one-on-one offensive line work, he said he's watched the film every day, hasn't been over to watch it in person. That was the long response. JP Shadrick, Pete Prisco, Tony Boselli, Jaguars Monday, the second hour. Your call's coming up, 355-NFL1. The Tony Boselli Twitter question of the night is around the corner as well. Should we talk Canton now and just get it over with, Pete?
Yeah, we can.
For the record, I did not bring this up.
No, I brought it up.
Twitterverse.
I brought it up.
Because I don't want to hear from the...
No, it was just last week. The ceremony was last week.
Yes.
And
Did you watch the whole thing?
Yeah, well, off and on. That was long. It was too long. It's getting way out of control. You know, your speeches are 40 minutes or whatever. By the end, the poor guy at the end, Kurt Warner, he had about 14 people in the crowd watching him because everybody leaves, you know? They need to shorten the speeches. They need to change the process, but that's a whole other story. But I'm sitting there watching that, and I'm thinking, you should have been there. You should have been there.
Well,
there wasn't. There's no Jaguar. It's the only team in the league that doesn't have one, right?
Carolina Panthers have one?
Yeah, well, they count Kevin Green.
Okay, yeah.
Jacksonville's nobody. Zero. Zippo. Nobody. And that's wrong. So it's just, this is the year, I think. Although you got a lot of first-time guys, Ray Lewis.
He's getting in for sure.
What do you do with the receivers? Moss is up. Does Moss get in and Owens doesn't?
I think they might make punish Moss just like they did Owens.
They'll punish them both maybe, so then they don't get in. Steve Hutchinson's up. I don't think he gets in on the first ballot.
Why would they punish Moss like Owens?
Because the room is that way. They think if you weren't the greatest teammate in the world that it impacts whether you should be in the Hall of Fame or not.
I thought he kind of came around towards the end, right?
No, he wasn't a great teammate. He took plays off too. They're going to bring that up. You know, they're going to bring that up.
Yeah.
One thing you say about Owens, he might not have been a great teammate. He didn't take any plays off. He played on a broken leg.
And here in the stadium.
So yeah. So I think those two.
One of them will get in.
They both should get in.
But let's say one of them gets in.
Okay, then you got to go to the offensive line vote. You know, there's going to be a sympathy for Jacoby. I think it's his last run.
His last year?
I think so.
I thought last year was too,
but I think maybe I'm wrong, but I thought maybe he had one more year. Then you got Fanica, who you were way better than him, and Mawai, who you were better than. So, yeah, you should. You know, Hutchinson, he went to my high school, and I've known him a long time. He's a great player. He should be in the Hall of Fame eventually. He should not be in before you. Should not be. So we'll see. I think this might be the there's a real momentum for shorter careers now with Terrell Davis getting in.
And Kenny Easley.
Yeah, Kenny Easley didn't play a long time. So I think next year might be the year.
You mentioned Fred Taylor earlier, too, making a rumble on social media, a couple weeks ago now, the process.
That started with Gil Brandt doing a top running back list of 25, and he had Ezekiel Elliott ahead of Fred Taylor. You got to be kidding me, right? I mean, it wasn't even close. And so Fred got miffed by it and started out, and then he went into the Hall of Fame process. And the amazing thing is, and I have since then I haven't done it, but I, Fred hasn't been nominated, I don't think. I asked why he was on the 100 last year, and they said he hadn't been nominated, which is an entirely stupid process. So somebody has to call up to the Hall of Fame committee and say, I nominate Fred Taylor. He's never been nominated.
Did you do it?
I haven't done it yet. I meant to do it. I haven't done it. He's got to be nominated. It's ridiculous. It's dumb.
He's
one of the great runners. He's one of the great runners this game has ever seen. One of the most underappreciated runners this game has ever seen. And there are guys in the Hall of Fame he's better than. He's better than Jerome Bettis. You can't watch Jerome Bettis and Fred Taylor in any way, shape, or form and tell me Jerome Bettis was a better running back than Fred Taylor.
Better than Terrell Davis?
Not for that 3-year
special.
For those 3 years.
Right. I don't know. Fred had played with the way they played.
Well, but yeah. Terrell rushed for 2,000 yards.
Right. So Fred didn't rush for 2,000, but he was. But Curtis Martin?
Listen, you're asking the wrong guy. I take Fred over Jerome. I take Fred over Curtis Martin.
Right.
Right now,
me too.
Every day of the week.
Me too.
Twice on Sunday. He was one of the best players I've ever played with.
Yeah, I agree. He should be in the mix.
I mean, I'm the wrong guy to ask because right. I think he was. Tremendous. Just go turn on the tape and watch what
it's
he did.
It's just amazing. There aren't guys 225, 230 pounds that can do what he can do.
Nope.
So, yeah, he should be. You know, they're going to start talking about Marshawn Lynch. He ain't in the same sentence
not
as
even
Fred Taylor.
Close.
You know? Not even in the ballpark.
Nope.
Fred Taylor averaged 4.6 per carry, I think, 8 times in his career. Curtis Martin did it twice, I think. I mean, or only averaged 4.5 twice in his career. Fred Taylor was special. It's a shame. It's really a shame that this market – I think they're the only. Again, I said it. I think they're the only team in the league that doesn't have a Hall of Famer. It's ridiculous. You should be in.
When's the initial list come out? I don't even know. Pretty soon, I think.
Like end of August, maybe September. You should be in, and Fred should get strong consideration and eventually get in. And then you know what? If Jimmy had played a long time, he would get in. He would get in too.
355 NFL one.
Well, the hardest part about the receivers nowadays is the numbers are so skewed.
I always tell those guys, well. Yeah. The receiver numbers are skewed. I go, good. You're going to go back into the 70s and take out the runners from the 70s?
No, that's
their running back numbers are skewed?
But that's the perception-wise.
Right. Oh, I agree with you, Tony. I mean,
if you talk to anyone who played against Jimmy, this is what I always go back to. I wish these guys – go talk to the guys who played against – go ask any corner if they wanted to cover Jimmy.
Well,
was Jimmy better than Chris Carter?
Damn right he was. Damn right he was.
I would agree.
Definitely he was better than Chris Carter. But here's the other one, is when you talk to the guys in the room, they say, well, I go, why is Owens not getting it? Well, his teammates, if you talk to them privately, his teammates and the guys around the league, they said he was a bad teammate. I said, that has no bearing on what he did on the football field. The guy played on a broken leg, okay? He played early in his career, wasn't a bad teammate. He was an unknown kid. He made a lot of big plays, right? He had the great catch against Green Bay in the playoffs.
San Francisco, yes.
I mean, so he should – the numbers – anything he did teammate-wise – his numbers overwhelm that he should be in the Hall of Fame. It's just ridiculous. The process is terrible. It's a terrible. If Peter King, who and those guys were sitting right here next to me, I'd tell every single one of them the process stinks. Well, how would you fix it? Well, I wouldn't have the same guys in the room every year making their case. If you get the honor of being a Hall of Fame voter, right? You have the honor, and Sam Kavaras has the honor here in town. You should be able to make your decision on your own by doing your own work. Go back and watch the guy. Go call around to the guys in the league and figure out what they really think. You see if they back your opinion. If they don't, then maybe they say, well, go back and watch him. And then you go back and watch more tape on the guy because you can get it. You do all that stuff and figure it out on your own. You don't need to go in a room and have the strongest guy in the room stand up. It used to be Dr. Z, who used to say you were a bad run blocker back in the day, which was absurd. You have these guys stand up and they browbeat certain guys that don't know really what they shouldn't be in there. And next thing you know, everybody goes, oh, he's right. I'll agree with him. And they vote on
it. Should there be a limitation of how long voters are included?
Yeah, what is it? The Supreme Court? You go
pretty
for
much.
Life?
Pretty
right,
much
that's what it is.
Is.
It's wrong. And I'm not saying it because I'm not in there. And back in the day, I used to want to be in there. Now I really don't. I don't want to be in there. Because I know how I am. I knew I would get fired up and it would annoy me and I would just get...
No, really?
But the fact that he's not in is ridiculous. And the fact... But you did make a push last year and that's the good news.
I'll say this about the whole process. It is what it is. I'm fine with it. I don't feel as strongly as Pete does about it. And the guys that I talk to that are in that room are pretty dang knowledgeable about the game. Now, I don't talk to all of them.
I talk to a handful of guys...
That I've known for years.
You know, you talk to Goose
and
the gang.
Really, really smart football guys who understand the game the history of the game and the guys you're voting on. So I can't speak for everyone because I don't know everyone, but the guys I talk with, and I'm fine with it. And I say all along, the process is the process. I mean,
well, here's the other thing.
It is what it is. What are you going to do?
Peter King and his gang had an all-time draft recently. I don't know if you saw it.
I missed that.
He did. It was Rick Goslin and Bob McGinn, longtime football guy. He wasn't picked. He was not picked.
They didn't pick him?
No. I think there were 8 guys or 10 guys picking teams, and they picked full teams, and you weren't picked. I sent it out. I go, Peter, what are you doing here? Are you kidding me? How stupid is that?
What did he say?
He got insulted. You know how Peter gets if you, you know. Because I also made a crack about Terry Bradshaw was picked way before Marino. I'm like, yeah, what planet is that ever real? Come on. Terry Bradshaw was not better than Dan Marino. It's just mystifying to me.
It really is. Let's go to the phone lines.
Let's do that.
We'll have the Tony Baselli Twitter question of the night coming up next segment. Let's go to the phone lines. 355-NFL-1, the first phone call of the year on Jaguars Monday is William on the west side to discuss wide receivers. Good evening, William.
Yeah, I'm doing today, man.
Great. How about yourself?
I'm doing fine, doing fine. Hey, Pete, man, I miss your own show, too, man. You used to crack me up with some of your quarterback analogies. My thing is, man, about the receiving corps and about the NFL the Hall of Fame real quick. I mean, Baselli's got to go in first. But after Baselli, I just see Fred going. I think that Jimmy has a little bit too much baggage. And I look past it, but he has a little bit too much off-the-field baggage to make it. So I think he's going to be one of the ones that just always gets snubbed. But back to the receiving corps, man, I want to ask you guys, man, it's looking like Cole and Westbrook is going to make this team. Does that mean Hearns and Green is in trouble? And I'll take that off the air, buddy.
Thanks for the call. What a question.
Well, I think, you know, as you look at the wide receiver position, now you have an injury to Marquise Lee, so that's going to play, you know, make, you know, influence the decision. How long is he out for? What does that look like at the beginning of the season? You know, obviously you got Allen Robinson, who's going to be your number one guy out there. You were thinking it would be him and Marquise. Now the injury to that changes it. Hearns has had some injuries. He missed the last game. He's had some concussion issues.
That's
got
to be a concern. Obviously, a lot of concussions.
You have Rashard Greene, who's you hear that he's had a good camp. To me, watching, I think it's been a little bit up and down. Some good, some bad. He had the great punt return against New England.
Dropped a ball in New England, too.
Dropped one as well. And then you look at the young guys. Keelan Cole, I mean, he's been outstanding. I think every opportunity he's had, he's looked really good. We're not watching the tape of every practice, so assignments and stuff like that. Always a concern for a young guy, but the game tape, you know, he stood out, obviously. Westbrook can fly. Young guy that has return capabilities. You know, you'd like to see what he can do out on the field some more. And I think a guy that no one's talking about, but when you watch him out there, he is Shane Wynn. Is the change of direction, the speed, the explosiveness, some of the things he can do, he's just not very big. And so you do worry about that. And then I think the guy that's going to make the team that no one talks about as a receiver is Aurelius Benn. He might be their best special teams player.
Okay, so you keep the Lee injury changes it. So
it does.
Who stays because of the Lee injury?
Yeah, maybe Shane Wynn is the guy who makes it because Marquise Lee. And you have to carry 6 wide receivers until then. But I do think there's going to be a real conversation, depending on how the rest of the preseason comes, injuries and everything else. I mean, you have to look at Rashard Greene, Allen Hurns, you know, Cole and Wynn. I think you have those 4 guys. If you keep Allen Robinson, Marquise Lee, and Aurelius Benn, if you keep 5, it's those 4 for 2. If you keep 6, it's those 4 for 3.
Well, if you keep 6, do you keep 4 backs?
Well, the numbers, you start running out of roster
spots. Right, that's
fullback now, too.
Right.
That's what I'm saying. I think you can, I mean, based on what this team wants to do is run the ball, play good defense. So I think you keep 5 receivers, one of them being Aurelius Benn as your special teams guy.
But with Lee, you got to keep 6. So.
Well, you might only keep him for a couple weeks.
Right, but still, to start the season, you got to keep 6.
Well, we don't know how serious the injury is, Pete, to your point. We're not going to find out until
we get
closer to the
season. There are reports out there that it's a high ankle sprain, so he ain't going to play the opener.
Well, nothing from the team, and you got to wait and see what.
Well, they're being all secretive. They don't want any secrets out. Well, you know that.
It's top secret
stuff. It's secret stuff. They got a big preseason game Thursday night. Well, you don't that means diddly squad.
You don't want to give any advantage to the Bucks. It's national television.
Got to own the state of Florida, Pete.
But, I mean, if you look at the numbers, just a pure number game, I think right now if you keep 6, you have 4 for 3.
But
if you keep 5, you have 4 for 2.
But if you keep 6, can you keep 4 runners? and the fullback.
Well, if you're going to do that, what you're going to end up doing, you'll go one less offensive line, keep an extra practice squad guy so you can practice, and say, listen, for these next couple weeks until Lee gets back, we're going to be short active roster of an offensive lineman guy, because you're only dressing seven offensive linemen. And so you go try to sneak someone on the practice squad and maybe go deficient there, or maybe you go deficient at your defensive lineman where you're keeping big quantities of guys to get you by the first couple weeks. I mean, that's the roster. You have to start looking at special teams and everything. That's why I realize Ben is going to be one of the five or six guys, because he's the best special teams player.
Right.
You look at the secondary, you got issues there with injuries. You got, you know, you would think Boye is going to be okay. Jalen Ramsey just coming back off the PUP. You still got Aaron Colvin on PUP. And so you have a numbers game there too. And so sometimes it's not as easy as just who's the best five or six wide receivers.
Well,
you have to play it around.
That's why I was
so,
asking if you keep four runners and six receivers.
And we got three more preseason games.
Well, here's the thing. Let me tell you the thing that is going to be really interesting is what they do with T.J. Yeldon.
That's what I was thinking.
If you have Fournette, if there's nothing to this foot / ankle, whatever it is.
Lower leg injury.
So let's say he's fine, and you have Ivory. He's on the roster. And right now, Corey Grant had a great camp. He does something none of the other guys can do. If Corey Grant could block and you had confidence that he could block in third down, he would be your third down block back. He just gets overwhelmed. He needs to go watch like Darren Sproles and see how ever Darren Sproles gets away with blocking on third down. Not that I've studied it a bunch, but if he could become better at that, you're keeping one fullback. You could very well see it as an odd man out as T.J. Yeldon. Now, injuries and everything come into play. We still got 3 weeks of camp, preseason and everything else, so guys can get hurt. That changes the roster's number every year. But you're gonna have some good football players get cut.
And don't forget, everybody plays until the last preseason game this year. So you're gonna see a lot of guys at that final preseason game coming up with that aren't gonna make the team coming up with a lot of hamstrings and groins. I got a groin injury. Injury settlement. We'll offer you eight. You'll take three.
But there's gonna be. I mean, you look at that wide receiver and running back group. There are gonna be some good players. They're gonna get cut.
Yeah,
and then. And then you look at the tight end position. I think there's some deficiencies there that you worry about a little bit. Maybe you pick someone up off the waiver, because there's going to be a lot of guys floating around there when they go from 90 to 53.
Let's go back to the phone lines. Oktoberfest is not too far down the road in Munich, Germany. That's where Preston is tonight. Preston, what's up? Preston, you're on the air.
Hey, yeah, I'm calling from Munich, Germany. I want to let you guys know, a lot of Jags fans here.
Wow.
Really? In Munich?
No kidding.
Yeah, Munich.
Why Munich? Why is Munich a Jags hotbed?
Oh, big fans.
I don't know.
Big Tony Baselli
fans. It just did.
I'm a big deal there.
It's like Kesselhoff, big in Europe.
JP. Yeah, first of all, I want to say, JP, don't let them give you too much crap throughout the year. Second of all, Gus Bradley. Probably could do without the clips that Gus Bradley threw on 10-10. I really could deal without that. And then third of all, I know you guys already touched about the receivers, but Keelan Cole is making a lot of noise. Where is he going to play into the play overall?
Well, we just talked about that. It's a great question. I mean, he's had an outstanding camp. He flashed. He has speed. He made a great special teams play on the first kickoff coverage. He knifed and made the play, so that's going to do well for him to
he's
make
He's also working against Cyrus Jones, who might not make the team there.
Well, I'm not saying he's an all-star, Pete. I'm just saying you only can judge by what they do.
No,
he's
had a good camp, and he looks good.
Right. So, the problem is if he does too good a job, you can't sneak him on practice squad because someone can pick him up.
Right.
So,
if he continues to play like
he's
going to
make the team.
He'll make the team. But
long way to go. A lot of football left.
Right.
A lot of football left. A lot of show left, too. Yes. Come back, more phone calls. The Tony Baselli Twitter question is right around the corner.
Oh, God. He's going to get mad at somebody.
Pete's favorite.
He's probably going to get mad at you.
Well, he always does. Time.
Check out Jack Hanania's Audi Jacksonville on Blanding. You can lease a beautiful new A3 from just $229 a month. Head over today for details. This is Jaguars Monday on Jaguars.com, the Jaguars Facebook page, and Jaguars Radio.
I could get 53
today.
Right now, yes.
Yeah, you could do it.
Some questions at the corner position because of injuries. The surprise cut could be is Allen Hurns.
I thought about that.
I'm not saying it's going to happen, but if Cole continues to play the way he is, Rashad Green gets more consistent with his return ability. You have Allen Robinson. You have Marquise Lee, Rashad, Keelan Cole.
Westbrook.
And
Westbrook.
Westbrook.
And then
Aurelius Ben.
Right.
As your sixth.
And
because
and,
where I'm trying to figure out where you are, you cut Rashad Green and keep.
That's what it looks like. It's between Rashad Green and Allen Hurns.
I mean, what do you do with Shane Wynn?
Practice squad him.
Yeah.
I mean, Allen Hurns to me would make the injury stuff is. I mean, yeah. Well, he had a concussion at Miami, and I think he's had.
Who gives you? But
well, he got carted off the field here one time.
Right. If Westbrook's going to be your third receiver, or Keelan Cole, could he be your third receiver?
Yeah. But you know what? You got those two guys. Got it. It's one thing you know, Tony.
Oh, like, no, there's the a Curtis, lot. I'm just talking.
The Curtis Marsh syndrome.
This is very early. We're like, right. There's a lot of football.
Remember how good
left.
Curtis Marsh looked?
Yeah, and we know what Allen Robinson is. Allen Hurns is. I mean, I'm just saying, there's a lot of football left. But would it shock you?
No. By the way, one of your former teammates is now an offensive coordinator in the NFL.
Who's that?
Johnny Morton.
Oh, he was he here when I was here?
Yeah, first year. John Morton.
You don't remember your teammates, Tony?
That was a long time ago.
He was. I don't think he played. I don't know if he made the final, but the team.
He wasn't on the team.
But he was with you for the whole offseason and in the training camp.
Yeah.
John Morton. He's the offensive coordinator of the Jets.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
It is time now for the Tony Baselli Twitter question of the night.
Who's it from, JP? We have a graphic?
Yes. At 303 Party Starter, did you settle out of court with Prisco CBS for that awful routine beating he gave every week last season?
No, and I still continued it already.
Well, no, I think I'm winning today.
No, I don't think you are.
Well, Tad Dickman came in and said, will you please take it easy on Pete because you're dominating the show right
he's
now.
Just trying
quote
to,
unquote.
He's
that
trying,
was a quote.
He's trying to make you
well,
feel
I'm just telling
good.
You,
he's
right
trying to make
now,
you feel good.
I'm winning this.
He knows you got abused for already an hour and a half.
I think if you go back to the tape, it was not as lopsided as everyone says. Pete is just a loudmouth that never shuts up. And because he thinks he's, he thinks he's louder than everybody else, he can just win arguments when he's wrong.
JP.
Yes, sir.
Of the two of us, when we have an argument or a fan calls in and we have an argument with a fan, who is the louder of the two?
Well, the fan, it's me.
Easy.
It's always
with
you.
With a fan.
No, it's always
even
you.
With him.
No.
Hey,
yes, it is.
No.
It's always you.
No.
Yeah, it's always you. What are you
talking about?
You don't know how to tone it down.
Pete, I
you
know
think
more than
you. Think everybody's a defensive lineman and you want to beat the hell out of them.
I know more than you about
people call in. There's four innocent people calling. Remember that woman who called in a couple years ago and you abused her?
A couple years ago? Give me a break. I don't remember yesterday.
Oh, put yourself on the injury settlement.
Wait a minute, JP. Didn't Tony just say it wasn't as lopsided as people made it out? Wouldn't that admit defeat?
Right.
If it's not as lopsided, it's still a defeat.
He never won. I'm undefeated.
You're kind of parsing words there.
I like when Joe comes in and rubs it in too a little.
Well, I mean, listen. Here's the other thing. I win more than I lose with you, Pete, but it ends up being 3-on-1 because your two little cronies, JP and Joe, come to your defense because you're getting beat down so bad.
No, I'll say this. JP has never beaten you.
What does that mean? Did you bring your shine box tonight, Pete?
Because he killed you. It's just unfair.
It's okay. Water off a duck's back.
Yeah, it's unfair.
Roll right off.
Off your forehead.
Yeah.
See, I don't ever kill JP other than when I did the show here on Thursday night. I said that I called him Wally Pipp. He got Wally Pipp.
Didn't work
and he
out
got mad,
so well.
And
for
he
you.
Got mad. He got mad on Twitter. He started.
Oh, I know.
Mad.
I saw. Yeah,
mad online. That's my MO. Let's go back to the phone lines and go to the south side.
I need you picking better questions too. Let's get some football
you
questions.
That one.
No,
what are you
I did
about?
Not pick
yes,
that.
That was a funny question.
I said, here's a list of the questions. Pick your favorite one, and you
that's
picked
a,
that one.
That's a good one to start the season with.
Right, fine,
come on, it's fun. What do you want him to ask you about the quarterback again? Come on,
or Canton,
Cam Robinson.
Great.
What
Canton,
about Cam?
Ohio.
What about Cam Robinson?
Yeah, what about Cam?
Is he the real deal? Is he the left tackle?
Well, is he the real deal?
He has the potential to be. I think he's a good player. I thought he played well against New England.
I did too.
And I think he's going to be the starting left tackle. My only word of caution to all the fans, take it easy on him a little bit. He's a rookie left tackle. There are going to be bad days and bad plays.
I'm having flashbacks to when Luke Joko played.
No, but, do you disagree, Pete?
There are going to be tough days.
Yeah, but he's going to be good. He's a good football player.
He's going to be better than Joku.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes, he will be. You've already seen he's a little bit tougher than.
Well, he's just bigger.
He's tougher.
He's just bigger.
He's tougher.
Longer, great athlete. Yeah.
I thought he was good in the run game the other day. From what I watched,
I thought he played very well.
Yes.
No,
again, he's playing against
mostly backups.
But
that doesn't matter. You only can play against what you play.
Right.
And he did a good job. I think Cam Robinson is going to be your starting left tackle. He's still splitting reps with Josh Wells, who's had an outstanding camp as well, and did an outstanding job at the right tackle.
Well, maybe
after getting zero reps.
Is there a competition over there? Maybe they should make a competition at right tackle.
No, Parnell's still the best right tackle.
Okay. So you're going to have Parnell and Robinson.
Yep.
Linder, Can, and Omama. Is that
that's
what it's going to be?
I said that 4 weeks ago, and that's what it is.
You did. I said don't move Linder, remember? That was my big thing. I didn't think you should move him. He should be the center. Remember, Jeff was kind of like, maybe you move him to guard, or you even thought he could move him to guard.
No, I said if initially, before...
You wanted Bowanko at center and him at guard.
I said, no, I said initially, when Brandon Albert was holding out, I thought at the time, I would have put either Shatley or Bowanko at center and moved Linder to guard. With that said, I was wrong in the sense of Omame's had a great camp.
He's been good, right?
Absolutely. He's done an outstanding job. He is the he should play left guard. Outside of Brandon Linder, he's the best left guard on this team. It keeps you stronger with Brandon Linder at center. So I was wrong in the sense of I thought if you couldn't put Cam in there, I thought they might be better with Linder. I mean, with Bowanko or Shatley at center. Not true. Yeah, I like where they kept
him. I thought Robinson would play somewhere on the line.
Oh, I knew
he was here.
Yeah,
he would not have been a
guard.
He
played guard.
Right. So you would have
brainer.
And then you would have moved
Cam.
But
none of us saw Brandon Albert walking away from $9 million. Would you walk away from $9 million, Pete?
No.
Me neither.
No. Jared Valdir almost walked away from his money. He has $18 million coming. He almost walked away from it.
Why?
Remember when the concussion story came out? He said he was a little concerned about it. Remember the one with 100 out of the 102 brains or whatever, or 100 out of 101? So he was concerned about it, but he's back. He's playing because obviously he wasn't
that
concerned.
I'm not going to say anything. Everyone knows how I feel about that.
I know.
Let's go to
the same
south side and say good evening to Mimi. What's up? How are you?
Good evening, gentlemen. It's an honor and pleasure to speak to both of you. It's all three of you. And I want to bring out two positive points during week one of preseason for the Jags and then make a suggestion. You know that the Jags were the only team in the AFC South to win their game last week.
Yes.
Which is a good thing.
Even though it means nothing, it's better than losing.
Right. And also, now if it hadn't been for the Seahawks last night, scoring 48 points, the Jags would have been the top scorer as far as game points in their game last week.
Very nice.
Yeah.
Very nice. Good point. Better than not scoring points, but means nothing.
There's the silver lining that she sees the silver lining.
We're looking for one.
Yeah.
Exactly. And here's what I'm suggesting. I think we need to get some T-shirts and some bumper stickers made saying, Tony B and Freddie T in the HOF.
Beautiful.
Yeah, look at that.
What a wordsmith.
Tony said he's trademarked that, by the way, as he was sitting here.
Well done. Well done.
I like it.
Great show as always, guys. I'll be talking to you soon.
Sounds great.
Thank you.
Thanks for the call. They're 1-0 in the division.
You gotta love what she put that up. That's the big points they scored. I mean,
does her homework. She does her homework.
That's a great call.
Call of the night.
It's a well-rounded call.
Call of the night. Call of the year so far, frankly.
Better than the Twitter question.
That's a happy fan.
Yes.
That's a happy fan.
Well
finds
done.
A silver lining.
What was her name?
Mimi.
Good job, Mimi.
That's a long bumper sticker, though.
She said T-shirt.
I thought she said bumper sticker. Everything.
Both.
Yeah.
Both.
I thought she said T-shirt.
Thanks
she
for
said
paying
both.
Attention,
she
Tony.
Said both. You should, but it should rhyme, though. Like somehow she, Tony B and Freddie T in
the HOF.
Yeah, something. That then
I mean,
Hall,
right?
Hall of Fame with a busty.
Let's come back. More calls. 355 NFL.
Hey, I'm a rapper, man. Yeah. We get one of the rappers
is that
in town.
What
we got.
Are?
Isn't in the guy? What's his name? Duval. Little
Duval. Isn't
yeah.
I don't know, but Future's coming Wednesday night to the Daly's place.
You going?
Yeah.
You are?
I am.
No, you're not.
I am.
Oh, he is.
You are?
He's got fantastic seats. Tony sits in prime seating every time for Daly's
play.
Well, roll, baby.
One of the perks of being on the wall. About a half hour left in the first Jaguars Monday on Jaguars Radio.
No, it's not frustrating. Of course, I'd rather be playing. It's all a process. It's a part of my growth as a football player. I got to get my body right. So I don't look at it as a setback at all. I look at it kind of, you know, it's just me revamping my body, just getting my body better to be back out there and be better 20 this year.
Jalen Ramsey back on the practice field, but not doing one-on-ones or teamwork yet. That was earlier this week, his first day on the field. Jaguars Monday continues. J.P. Shadrick with Pete Prisco and Tony Boselli. Your calls, 355-NFL-1, a few to get to tonight. What do you think of Ramsey? She just bubble-wrapped a guy? Or has he got to play
He's got to play. Right? Potential to be a great player in this league.
I think he's going to be a great player.
I do, too.
But you got to play him
now. He was very, very good last year, great for a rookie. He has the potential to be a great, 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 great player. I mean, just top of the league type of player.
If he plays it right, he could be the East Coast version of Richard Sherman.
But he has to go out there and, I mean, he's still a young player. He needs reps.
Because he's got a little personality to him, a little spunk to him.
Great. Yeah. I love him.
And I think he's a fantastic player. And I insist this. I insisted it all last year that the Cowboys should have picked him instead of Ezekiel Elliott. And everybody thought I was crazy. But in the long run, 5 years from now, Jalen Ramsey might be the best corner in the National Football League. And Ezekiel Elliott will be going the opposite direction.
Well, he's getting six games off, so extend his career.
Yeah. But you know what I mean, though.
I do.
The value of the position is that corner.
Is he going to win that appeal?
He'll get it reduced. But he could also make it long and get out of it, but like Brady did, remember, and put it to the next year. Mm. Look, here's the problem with that. If he did it, six games isn't enough. If he didn't do it, then he's getting railroaded. So we don't know. You know, you saw texts and stuff from...
Well, in fairness to him, the legal process is not prosecuting him because they do not have enough evidence.
Well, it's harder to convict. You know, they can go in there and say, well, we can't convict him with what we have.
That's my point. I'm just saying.
Right.
In fairness to him,
right,
he has committed no crime that he's being charged of or prosecuted for.
But you can also say, it's like when O.J.
I'm not saying he didn't do it. I'm just saying in
fairness. We don't know if he did it. If he didn't do it, he shouldn't. This is terrible if he didn't do it. If he did do it, six games isn't enough. That's the way
he was accused of domestic violence, basically.
Three times in a week, supposedly. I mean, or something like that. But if he did do it, six games is not enough. I think it's the most disgusting, one of the most disgusting crimes out there. So
the thing that I always have a hard time with in this is the guys who the police investigate, they do their due diligence, and they say we're not bringing charges because there's not enough evidence. But then the NFL becomes on the back end of them. Yeah, but we're going to suspend them six games. But is the NFL getting more information, or is just the level of proof of doubt just that
correct.
Much lower?
It's kind
of
like in
civil and criminal.
Correct.
Yeah.
Like O.J. O.J. was innocent in the criminal court, but he was guilty in the civil court because there's less burden of proof. So yeah, I think that the NFL and maybe some people
is
more
should the NFL be that way, or should they just follow the
you gotta
role
be careful.
Of the courts?
You got to be careful.
I think the NFL walks a fine line there.
Right. You got to be real careful with it. Because if he didn't do it. He's now labeled that guy, right?
That's right.
Even if,
which is unfair.
But if he did do it, well, six then, games isn't enough.
No. Well, if he did do it, he should be prosecuted by the. I guess. We have a criminal system in this country. Why don't we let them take the lead?
Well, they did.
I understand that. And now they're not pressing charges. So how does the NFL on the back end come after him?
Well, because they can.
I know they can. Is it right that they can, though, Pete? That's my question.
It's their league, right?
I know it's their league.
Protect the shield kind of thing.
So it's just a fine line because all of a sudden now.
Sure, it is.
I'm not saying this happens, and so, but it could. What if, when I was a player, I did something that ticked my wife off, and she was mad at me, or I got caught, or doing something,
and she says,
"Oh, you know what? I'll get you."
Right. Right.
File charges.
That's why you got to be real careful with it.
And the police came and investigated, and said there's nothing there, but the league comes back and says, "Well, you know what?
Well,
if your
wife had bruises and stuff all over,
well,
like
then I should go to jail. I'm saying,
right?
I know that's the exception, not the rule.
I agree with you, Tony. I think it's a real.
And so people who study this and advocate for the victim in domestic violence will tell you that it is a very, very low percentage of people who are making it up. So that's fine. I just find it always interesting that the criminal courts take us through a process, and a guy is not deemed guilty, or at least there's not enough evidence to charge him. And I always, then all of a sudden, the NFL on the back end, and I'm not saying they're wrong, because Pete's right. It's comparable to a civil case and a criminal case. But all of a sudden, the league comes on the back end and dings them.
Well, and they also
it also hurts future endorsements and your perception and everything else.
But again, the way it is right now, if he did it, six games isn't enough. If he didn't do it, it's a tragedy for him.
If he did it, how many games is right?
I'd put him out for a year at least.
At least.
At least.
So would you say Joe Mixon never should have been drafted because of what he did?
I would have had a for me personally, I would have had a hard time bringing him into my building.
Even though that happened 18 years old and he's been a perfect citizen
But a year, you know.
So I'm saying it happened when he's 18. 3 years later, you wouldn't draft him because of, and he's been changed.
I'd have to go sit down and talk to him and find out more about him. But I have a hard time with it.
Yeah.
I think, to me, you put your hands on a woman.
I have three daughters. So right. I'm not saying I would be okay with it. But at some point, guys have to get a second chance.
But the amazing thing is like when you say
yes.
When you say something about it,
if
it's
you've done
funny,
the time and gone through that process,
fans are like you say something about, you know, boy, this is terrible. If he did this, you know, he should get more or whatever. Domestic violence is something that should be penalized. Immediately, the fans of that team where he gets suspended start piling on you, dude. If it's another player on another team, you'd be piling on the other player, too. So, you know, the Cowboy fans came out strong. And look, if he didn't do it, it's unfair to the kid. But if he did do it, he should be gone for a lot longer than six games.
And in fairness to the NFL, I was bringing up the question to Pete, is it right or wrong? They do a great job of investigating this. This is not something they take lightly. They do a lot of...
But they blew the investigation on Deflategate, supposedly.
Well, but I think they're learning that they need... That this is something that's going to be under the eye of... You know, the appeals and arbitrators and everything else.
Well, here's one. I mean, last week, Tremaine Brock was a couple from the 49ers corner, who's not in the league right now, was charged, remember, with beating up the mother of his...
He was completely exonerated.
And she said he didn't and came out and said it. But did she say that because maybe she saw the money going out the window or something? I mean, you hate to think that, but...
But all of a sudden, she changed her story.
Right. Why?
Why? She was mad at him?
Where the Greg Hardy victim disappeared off the face of the earth. Why? Because he paid her, supposedly. I mean, you know, there are certain situations where that's in play. I think it's a despicable thing. If he did it, he should get more than six games.
But
if he didn't do
Pete,
it...
That's easy for you to say. We're sitting here in a situation where he was cleared, but the league still came after him. You have to choose what side are you on.
Me?
Yeah. The six game was the right suspension.
They obviously found stuff, right?
I guess.
Yeah, they wouldn't suspend him if they didn't find
him. Well, they suspended Brady for four games, and obviously...
Well, he clearly did something. They just didn't have the exact proof of it. Come on. The balls went into the bathroom for a half hour or whatever they did.
I still argue...
I just don't think that was that big a deal.
I don't either. I still argue that even what they should have done is fine him $50,000.
Right. That's it. They shouldn't have suspended Brady.
I agree with you on that.
I think he did it. I don't think it's that big a deal.
I also think Brady could have... made the whole thing go away in about a 5-minute press conference, saying, "You know what?
Sorry,
It was not purposeful. We pressed the envelope because I like the balls on the low end. Obviously, we went too far. That's my responsibility. I own it. I'll pay whatever fine.
Right.
And it will never happen again. Guess what?
It is over.
No one's saying anything.
Right. Correct. By the way, the person that took more abuse on the Brady Deflategate situation, Mark Brunell.
Yeah, they still kill him. Yeah.
They still kill Mark Brunell.
They tried on the air.
Right? Yeah.
They still kill him.
It's unbelievable.
Well, let's go back to
to your point, Tom Brady's the greatest quarterback, whether he plays with a beach ball or an over-stuffed ball. I don't care what it is.
And if he likes the ball softer and he wants it right, it's not that big a deal. No, it really isn't.
I'm fine with it.
A couple more calls tonight. Let's go to Fernandina Beach. Grant, you're up. What's up, man?
Hello?
Grant, you're on the air. What's up?
Oh, yeah. Hey,
Brett, try calling back. Your phone's going in and out. Yeah. No idea what you're saying.
What cell service do you have?
We need. Can you hear me now?
Yeah, there we go. What's up?
Okay. Yeah, I was talking about next year's draft class. I was wondering.
No. Sorry.
Go ahead. You can ask me.
No.
Go ahead. Ask me.
I am in charge of the show. We're not talking draft.
I know, but Pacelli, don't do it.
He's a legitimate question. He's a fan of the show.
We're doing next year's draft already.
I've already got a training camp. Go ahead. What's your question?
All right. If Blake Bortles has a mediocre year next year, next year's the quarterback draft class of the last 10 years at least. Hopefully there's going to be another Andrew Luck coming out. Would you think mortgaging the next two draft classes to go up and get him and Bortles plays mediocre? Dan Cole was never traded up in the first round or made any big trades in the draft at all.
Well, it's a deep quarter.
Would that be something?
It's a deep quarterback draft. It's going to be a deep quarterback draft. And the kid at Wyoming is the guy that I think will end up being the number one overall pick.
Come on. What about my guy at SC?
I heard he threw lollipops down at the Peyton Manning football camp.
Oh, now you want to talk about
yeah,
it?
Yeah. And guy. You know what else he's got? He's got a little baby hand, Sam Darnold.
Oh,
yeah. So, you know, you hear these things, and I wasn't there, but I heard he didn't throw the ball very well. And Josh Allen, he could throw the hell out of the ball. Now, some scouts think he can be the next John Elway. He's a little wild and gunslinging and all that, but he plays at Wyoming. I think he's going to end up being the first quarterback. But this is a good class. You got your guy.
Well, you said with small hands, we can't throw.
No, he can throw, but it's just I'm just telling you what
right?
I heard.
Isn't that what I just heard? I just heard the same thing.
Josh Rosen at UCLA.
He's got what you call baby hands.
He seems like a problem to me.
He's been kind of babied his whole life. He's been family.
I love that. He's like, there's not enough time to go to school and play football. What are you talking about? We've done this I did it. There's plenty of time.
Well, nowadays, though, they're,
it's even more time now because there's limits on how long you can be out there. Give me a break.
Yeah, but you got your grades given to you. What are you talking about? You didn't go to class.
That's not true. I'm
USC. I'm Tony Baselli.
I was a
basket weaving. What a concept.
I was actually a real estate finance major. Thank you much. In the business school.
You didn't take any easy classes at USC.
No, I was a National Football Foundation scholar, postgraduate scholar, athlete, and I was an academic All-American, JP.
They gave you grades.
What's the rest of your resume tell us?
Sit on that.
They gave him grades. They gave him grades.
I'm
unbelievable. Yeah, exactly. Crickets.
They gave him grades.
No, they didn't.
Took no easy classes at USC.
I'm Googling Sam Darnold, small hands.
You didn't take any easy classes at USC.
Oh yeah, my electives.
Yeah,
sure I did.
Yeah.
Like what?
I took like some film class.
Can I tell you the easiest class ever?
I took journalism 101. Greatest class ever.
You didn't learn anything.
No, obviously not.
You know what you did learn? How to be the deep throat.
That's
where you
sources.
Learned that. Sources. You learned
sources.
Good.
Yes.
Yes.
You're the source that was protected.
Hey, the easiest class I ever took at ASU, and there were a ton of football players in it, geography of sport.
Oh.
This is a long time ago now, so some of the questions on the test would be, what eight schools make up the Pac-8? Seriously.
They're all
how many schools are in the Big Ten? And the football players would sit there and they'd go, this is a hard test. See, that's the kind of classes you took.
I see nothing about small hands with Sam Darnold.
People don't have the combine yet.
They haven't measured them yet.
Yeah,
I'm just telling you what I hear, Tony. See, get a picture of him and call it up and look at his hand. You can tell if he's got small hands.
Well, he's gripping the football, right?
Right, correct. You can tell. Look, he doesn't want to believe it because he's a Trojan.
But see, we got him talking about next year's draft already.
Well, that's the best thing.
Look at that. He didn't even know it.
Plus, he got the kid at Louisville. He's a pretty good player. Heisman Trophy winner.
Yeah. Can he come out yet?
No. Next year. Next year.
Yeah.
Heisman Trophy winner. Small hands.
They're showing him a photo.
Small
right
hands.
Here.
Look at his hand on the ball. Doesn't look like he's having a great grip on it, does it? You know you're starting. See, Tony, I teach you stuff on here.
I mean, do you think here's another one, Pete. This is great radio, by the way.
Quarterback guru, Pete Prisco.
Oh, look at that.
Measuring hands.
Yeah, small hand.
It's
a small hand. You know it is.
For the Trojans.
Well, let's find out. What's the guy at Wyoming's name?
Josh Allen.
Let's see him.
Oh,
talk about something else, JP.
Yeah, let's go to the phones and get one more call in tonight while Tony's Googling hand sizes. John is in Arlington to close us out tonight. What's up, John?
Hey, just wanted to call, talk to Tony Baselli, say, hey, I was in the Navy in Hawaii when I heard you got picked number one for the Jags. I loved watching you play 6 seasons when I had a pair of season tickets when I got stationed up at Kings Bay, Georgia. And you may not remember, but I enjoyed meeting you when you came back from Houston, getting your physical, and I was one of two of the National Guard Army soldiers meeting you at Jackson International Airport and walking down the concourse with you. And it's been a pleasure. I'm going to be the first one to say you're going to the Hall of Fame next year.
I appreciate it. Thank you for your service, and thank you for being such a great fan. And never can have too many good Jaguar fans, and especially when it comes to our men and women who've served in the military and sacrificed and given their time, and we really appreciate it.
There you go.
Well, have a good night.
By the way, JP, Tony just looked up Josh Allen's picture. He's got this massive hand over the football.
I want to look at another one at Sam Darnold.
Yeah.
Now we can compare it.
Great.
It's bothering him because he's a Trojan. It's killing him.
It's not bothering
Look, he's a good player, Sam Darnold, but there's some things you hear about.
He just has small hands. What do you want?
We don't know that.
Apparently we do. We saw the
photo.
You
can look at the picture and it looks like, you can see there's a big difference between his hand and
Josh. Size footballs.
Look at that. It's a different hand than the other guy. Come on. You agree?
No, that's the truth.
Tony, if you would agree, he has small hands.
Yeah, you can't see it on radio, but you sure can on .com.
Yes, you can.
He's got smaller than that kid, yes.
Lot smaller. That kid's got like an octopus hand. I don't know, whatever. He is huge. Missed. It's like unbelievable.
Let's come back and get around the National Football League. Coming up at Daly's Place, Tony Boselli will be at Future Wednesday, August 16th. Matchbox 20 and Counting Crows Saturday, August 19th. And Mary J. Blige Wednesday, August 23rd. A full schedule and tickets available at dailysplace.com. Final moments of Jaguars Monday after this on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HenaniaAutos.com studio. Jaguars Monday continues right now.
Final moments of Jaguars Monday. JP Shadrick along with...
He's like a little kid over here with his phone looking up the hand sizes and the way they're throwing on the quarterbacks at Wyoming and UCLA and USC. That's and will himself. You admit that your guy has the smallest hand of the three?
They're not the biggest.
It's August 14th. We're talking about hand sizes of the next year's draft class of quarterbacks.
You got to be prepared. Look, there's the little hand right there, Tony, on the big screen. The little hand. Put Josh Allen's hand up there. You see the Wyoming quarterback. He's got.
You're watching on Jaguars. I don't know if you can see
compared to Josh Allen and Josh. I mean, and Rosen,
Josh Rosen's isn't that much bigger.
It's bigger. His hand is bigger. I don't know how much that really matters. It's just something somebody told me. That's all. That's why I put it out there.
That's how rumors get started, Pete.
Well, I mean, you can look at it. You don't have to be.
It takes one spark to start
a
fire.
It's not a rumor. You don't have to. There's not a rumor. You just got to look at the pictures. You can tell who has the biggest hands. He doesn't have big hands for quarterback.
August 14th.
Hey, you got to be prepared. You never know what's happening. You could have the first overall pick next year. There you go. Look at those monsters.
They don't look that Jaguars. Much bigger.
Oh, yes, they
look that
do.
Much bigger?
Joe, how much bigger are they?
Yeah. Pretty big hands, I guess.
Come on. They're much bigger than that, Tony.
I don't see Pete Prisco hands right there.
Look at that. Those are your hands, and the other ones are mine.
Yeah, those are bigger.
They're bigger. And the kid's bigger, and he's stronger. He's got a bigger arm. He's going to end up being the first quarterback taken.
Sweet.
Some scouts have already told me he's like Elway when he got that big, powerful arm, big, strong kid. He's got bad receivers, too.
Can we go around the National Football
yes,
League
we can.
And move on from yes. this? Look, Tony's going to do the rest of the show.
He's like a kid who learned something today. He's on fast.
The Buccaneers.
It's not a big hand. You're blowing it up to like double size to make it look
that's
like
right.
it.
Right, see it? It's too
small. Not a big hand.
It's like catching the fish. You make it bigger and it looks bigger on the camera. The Buccaneers are in town, but they waived kicker Roberto Aguayo after the first preseason game. The Bears claimed him on waivers, though. I know you're adamant about never taking a kicker.
Take a kicker, and you take him in the second round. I was told by people in the league that was pushed on. Ownership pushed it on the GM, and the GM is taking the bullet. I saw Jason today, and I said, Jason, I sent out a tweet today saying that that's not you took the bullet, but the owners forced you into making that pick. And he kind of like, what'd you do that for? You know, you didn't want to. He doesn't want to. He took the blame. He's fully taking the blame for it. But I heard ownership forced.
Well, he
that
still guy. Put the card in,
right? But the ownership kind of like said, we need that guy. We want that guy. They got that guy. You don't draft a kicker in the second round every year. I don't care who you are. You bring an undrafted kicker or two if you don't have one. If you have one, you bring another drafted one in. You push them for competition. If you got a good kicker, then maybe down the road you find another kicker for later in the road. And a lot of these guys, look, the great kickers in the league. Where they come from? Adam Vinatieri was undrafted, right?
Janikowski was not. Well,
first-round pick.
There you go.
He's one of the few exceptions, though, and has he been worth it? He's been a good kicker.
Good kicker, right?
But, yeah, and he lives here, by the way, so we got to be nice to him.
He's pretty good.
Right, but is it worth a first round pick?
Well, as long as he's played, probably.
There's been other guys that have been picked high that didn't make it back in the day.
I wouldn't pick one that high.
I wouldn't pick any.
But
I'd never pick one.
Janikowski's paid off.
Gostkowski's paid off for the Patriots.
Third rounder?
No, he was more like I think he was a fifth. They paid off for him. So, yeah, but Justin Tucker wasn't picked. He's one of the better kickers. Hmm. The Lions have Prater. They got him off the scrap heap from Denver, right? I mean, there are good kickers everywhere. There's a million of them. The kickers are the best they've ever been now. You can find them anywhere.
Speaking of the Bears, Mitchell Trubisky, strong performance in Thursday night's preseason opener, and John Fox compared the excitement to Tim Tebow, your boy's debut, Pete, in 2011.
Don't insult Trubisky that way.
He did say that Mike Glennon is still the starting quarterback for the Bears. How long?
And he shouldn't be. He should not be. Mitch Trubisky should start. Get on with it. He's your future. Might as well play.
That's an expensive backup.
Well, yeah. Who? Glennon? Yeah. Well, you shouldn't have signed him in the first place. If you signed him, why are you drafting Trubisky? So you made one mistake. One of them is a mistake. You got to sit there and admit one's a mistake, right? And clearly it looked the other night, and it's just one preseason game.
Yeah, it's so early. I mean, I love that we make all these
rash
decisions.
On one preseason
game. Yeah, it's crazy.
I'm with you. But he did look pretty good.
You're making rash decisions on hand sizes right now, Tony.
Well, I'm just evaluating the draft.
Just
so, you know, I might change my whole perspective on the draft.
You're going to get into it this year.
Well, I always fight it.
You can't. It's the beast that you can't. You got to feed the beast.
And when I fight it, we've done this show 4 years now.
Yeah.
You know, I fight it every year, and we have a losing record.
Because people want to talk about the
draft. No, we have a losing record. I'm not worried about you and your idiotic stupidity that you bring up or the callers. But I'm going to try to flip everything this year. I'm going to embrace PFF, talk draft.
It's a new Tony.
Enjoy the callers, and maybe that'll lead to wins. I'm going to do my part, Pete.
You're going to lead the wins in this for the team or wins here?
I'm about team wins.
You shouldn't worry about these wins here. These ones you can control. You can't control those wins.
Well, I can beat you like a drum.
You get abused.
Well, you need three guys. It's you three.
They never chime in.
My goodness.
They never
gracious.
Chime in.
I stay out
JP
of it.
JP stays out of it.
JP, shut up.
He's the mediator.
I let you guys go.
He's the mediator.
He's not the mediator. He jumps on your side all the time.
No, he does. Because I'm right.
Because he feels sorry for you because you're going to be down so bad.
Of course he's going to jump in. He's going to go with the right. He's going to jump on the right side.
I'm going to jump on the wrong boat that's sinking. Sorry. I'm getting off that boat and jumping on the floating boat.
It's just like when I said
float all by yourself.
Hey, JP,
around your way.
JP, when I said Sam Darnold had small hands, his first reaction was no. First he disputed it. Then he got on the phone and what did you say?
I didn't dispute anything.
Yes,
I said,
you
no, I didn't. I never disputed anything. I said I never heard that before. You said you heard things at the did you say the camp online?
It was a Peyton Manning.
Okay,
camp.
I didn't know if he said that. I don't want to repeat that. Yeah. So you said you heard that. I wanted to go investigate myself.
And what did you find out?
Let's argue. I wasn't arguing with you one way
he
or another.
Kind of were to start the thing.
No, I wasn't.
Was he?
No.
Yeah, he was.
Exactly. My point exactly. Here comes JP. Hi, Pete.
Boom.
My buddy. Oh, Pete, I look up to you.
He used to give you the wins all the time back in the day.
I want to be on CBS. Can you help me?
Yeah, we need to go back and do the question of the night against you. Remember you two guys had to go out?
Oh, the face-off. Yeah, that's not.
Hey, let's finish with Andrew Luck. Still has not practiced with the Colts in training camp.
Major issue. And Cam Newton, too. They're not throwing.
Threw something the
but
other
he takes
day,
time
too,
off.
Right?
He's not. Yeah, he's taking time off.
But Luck isn't throwing at all.
No. Well, he's a little bit, I think, now sneakily. But you're right. That's a concern. The division's wide open.
Who's their quarterback if it's not Luck?
Who was it? Tolzien? Was it?
Yeah, probably.
Sounds right.
Well, I think the Titans are going to be good.
You do?
Yep.
They were playing the best at the end of last season. In the division.
I picked them to win the division when I played out the entire season.
And I think that Houston defense is going to be dominant.
Here's what I'm worried about the Tennessee team. Everybody's on them.
Yeah, it usually goes the wrong way for you if that's the case.
Everybody's on the Titans. They're the trend.
I think Texans defense with J.J. Watt coming back is
they're going to be nasty.
They're going to be nasty. They're sub-rush guys. They're four-down guys. Three of the four are Whitney Merciless, Jadeveon Clowney,
and
J.J. Watt.
And the kid D.J. Rader is going to start at nose tackle. Was good last year for him. He's going to start at nose tackle. Now he'll be better there, too. They're going to be good on defense.
He's very good.
But is it Tolzien?
I believe so. I didn't get there in time, I guess.
I forget.
Hey,
we'll go with that.
We're going with that.
He has good hands, too.
Big hands.
Hey. We'll see you guys same time next week.
You got it.
Well done. Pete Frisco, Tony Buscelli, Max Hockman, Joe Fortunato. I'm JP Shadrick.
And you.
I'm JP Shadrick. We'll see you next week.
Who you
Jaguars
are.
Monday on Jaguars Radio.